a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
To order, we're going to greet the internet listeners. Thank you for being on board and picking up. I think it'd probably be the best thing we could go around the room and introduce. There's some new members, there's some old members. Let's go around the room, starting with Representative Dryden. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Thank you. Dan Dryden from Rapid City. I'm District 34 representative. Representative Ed McLaughlin, term limited last year, and so I was fortunate enough to get elected to his position. I spent my career with the Rapid City School District, 35 years as assistant superintendent and business manager. Handled basically all the functions outside the classroom. So anyway, and I retired 4 years ago, and so thought I'd take a shot at this job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Chuck Turbeville from Deadwood, District 31, which is basically Lawrence County. And I'm the executive director of the Deadwood Weed Economic Development Corporation. This is my seventh year.
Representative Paul Devitt from District 2, Aberdeen, Brown County, Spit County area. Farmer all my life, semi-retired son took over the farm. My grandkids are both see them every day, I guess, or whatever, and try to stay busy on the farm when I'm not being a legislator. You don't really want to know how many years I've been here. 18.
Representative Ken Junkie from Vivian, District 21, which is Jones, Lyman, Buffalo, Brule, and Charles Mix counties. 11th year, we have a family operation. We live 8 miles south of Vivian, so typically commute, because it's about 43 miles to the capital, with weather permitting, I commute. 11th year, this is the second term on this committee, so looking forward to what we're going to accomplish, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I'm Cindy Tryon, and I am the committee secretary for House Government Operations.
I'm Tim Flannery. I work for the Department of Legislative Audit and serve as staff to the Government Operations and Audit Committee.
Thank you. I'm Lance Carson. I've been a retired businessman. I retired in about 2005. I was in the oil industry or oil business, restaurant business prior to that.
Jeff Haverly, I'm a state senator from District 35, Rapid City. I'm retired Air Force. I'm also a business owner, small business owner, a proprietary or for-profit child care center, and of which I manage part-time. Been in the legislature 8 years, served six on appropriations, and the last two on GOAC. Thank you.
Senator Deb Peters, I've been in the legislature 6 years. I've been on GOAC the last 6 years, serving four chairs for the last two terms. So this is going to be unique for me. But I'm an accountant in the real world. I have my own business consulting company. And in a previous life, I used to audit the state of Nebraska for several years.
I'm Senator Jean Hanna from District 18, which is Yankton. I've been in the legislature for 8 years. I served on and off this committee. In the real world, I'm a nurse. I'm a corporate compliance officer at a hospital, risk manager, and I'm also a home health hospice director.
Larry Tiedem, District 7, Brookings. Served 6 years in the House, and this is my second term on Government Operations and Audit Committee. Had served one term as a House member. Have been on Appropriations Committee. Retired after working 33 years for the state, primarily at the SDSU and the Cooperative Extension Service. The married and have two children. Basically poor, I'm a volunteer, and I say two children because one's in law school and the other one's in the college, so relate with being poor.
Senator Jim Hunstad, this is...
We're on the internet.
I think
oh,
I
am. You are. It's hard to hear. You can't see it. We couldn't see it.
I'm sorry. I've been in the legislature now 10 years, so I'm starting on my 11th year. I think Senator Hunhoff and myself came in together way back when. I've been in appropriations the last 4 years and have, like Senator Hunhoff, we're no longer there, but... I like to keep up, and because I think I might have gathered some information there, was interested in being on this committee, and so here I am.
Thank you. We'll call the roll now.
Representative Dennert?
Here.
Dryden?
Here.
Turbeville?
Here.
Junkie?
Here.
Carson?
Here.
Senators Hunhoff?
Here.
Hunstad?
Here.
Tiedemann?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Haberle?
Mr. Chair,
all members are present.
Thank you. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to get together today is that this committee is new to me, and there are some new members on it, and to kind of review what this committee is about, what it's going to do, and what it hopes to accomplish. I spoke with Senator Peters, and she was graciously agreed to give us a little statement of what we can. What we should be looking for as far as the operation of this committee. And I'm going to turn the meeting over to Senator Peters and let her kind of inform us of where we're headed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Government Operations and Audit is a unique committee. There's two committees that are statutorily created. One is the Appropriations Committee and the other is Government Operations and Audit. So this is a committee that when we talk about what our duties are to the state, we can find them in the statutes. It's the encompass. There's a reason you are all here. You have to be on a certain committee. We have to have 10 members, 5 from the House, 5 from the Senate. One member of each House has to be on the Judiciary Committee. And so it's all statutorily pre-designed. And Government Operations and Audit was put in place back during, and I'm going to butcher this, but I cannot remember the name of the gal that passed away in the juvenile corrections facility. Right. And Gina Score incident. And that's what brought about Government Operations and Audit. So the number one task that this particular committee has is to supervise and review the juvenile corrections facilities within the state of South Dakota. And with that, we deal with we've toured the facilities in the past. Last year we individually toured a handful of facilities. In the past, we've gone as a group, similar to the appropriations process, and toured facilities as well. I'm looking through the statute to make sure. Another interesting statutory requirement we have is if there's any type of report of abuse or neglect within the state facilities for the juveniles within our custody, those reports are sent to us immediately, and we are called immediately. And if it's a substantiated case of abuse and neglect, we have an emergency meeting, probably usually by telephone, to make sure that there's something that we can or can't do, and if there's something we can help out with. If it's all said and done and the investigation comes back and that it's not substantiated, we hear about it in a report about 6 months later. So in a roundabout way, we'll get another report here in about another week or two on the state-funded or in-state facilities and out-of-state facilities for our juveniles within those facilities. Last year there was a bill passed that statutorily required the brand board to provide a report to the Government Operations and Audit in their operations. So that's another statutory requirement that we have. Did you get that today? Okay, I haven't looked at my mail yet. And so that's one other item that will have to probably be put on the agenda is a review of that report that we and then all these reports, I believe, get sent to Tim. So Tim kind of keeps track of all of these, Mr. Chair. And so we know when they come in, a lot of reports. Let's see, what else do we do? Oh, statutorily we're required for audit findings and reports. Now, Tim, did you want to cover the reports?
Sure.
Okay.
I brought a copy of our last, the state's last single audit. There's two sections to the single audit report. There's the financial statement section, and then there's the compliance section of the report. I have four copies for the new members of the committee to hand out today. And this committee reviews that report with our office. And the first section, the financial statement, presents the complete set of financial statements for the state of South Dakota as a whole. And also included in that report is a schedule of expenditures of federal awards. And then in the back of it's all the compliance findings that our office encountered during the course of the work. There's four opinion letters from the Auditor General in that report, and then there's a summary in the back of that also. And we try to report to the committee kind of ongoing as we complete that in terms of the compliance findings. Once agencies, they're required to reply to any written findings, their corrective action is presented to you. And at times, the committee has chosen to call the agency in for further explanation of those findings. We also keep you apprised of some of the independent or some of the separate agencies will have maybe a CPA firm do the audit. We communicate the results of those to you also. I think I've covered most of that.
Besides the audit report, the other book that you've seen, a lot of you, we call it the blue book. It's not really a blue book. It's a binder. And now I don't even have the blue book with me because it's online. But it's a list of all the other funds. And for those new to the entire legislative process, I guess we just have one that's new to the entire legislative process. We've got other funds, federal funds, and general funds. The blue book is a composition prepared by Bob Christensen that deals with a list of all of the other funds. So, here you go.
Thank you. It's your official blue book.
It's your official blue book. So when somebody calls you up in the middle of the night and asks about, I don't know, the cosmetology fund, you will now know the details behind the cosmetology fund. But we go through and we review those too. Started doing that about four or five years ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago. And this has helped bring down fees within the state of South Dakota. And if anybody, a board or a commission or the state agencies, want to raise a fee, we now have the tools and the historical background to go back and say, why do you need to raise the fee? You have to raise the fee that much. You know, can you cut office expense? We kind of micromanage a little bit. We try not to, but we've noticed since we started preparing the blue book that fees weren't raised as randomly. We noticed that these other funds were being managed more conservatively, and we found that people were more accountable with having this book available. And it's also available online. And so this book was just produced by Bob this last year, about 3 or 4 months ago now. Our year end is June 30, so we get a new book sometime September, October. We have not had a chance to really go through this new book as far as picking funds and things, but that's usually another general item that we add to a list. Is there a fund that anybody has a particular interest on? Is there a fund we haven't looked at? Is there a fund that has a balance that's gone out of whack? Has somebody decided to increase fees that's coming through the legislature? That kind of stuff is another thing that we do. I guess other than that, I get a ton of phone calls. I think a lot of the other committee members get tons of phone calls as far as agenda items to be put on the agenda. I get random phone calls from anything from a contract out in, I don't know, Buffalo about a storage facility for the state of South Dakota and the lease not being negotiated correctly. I get phone calls all day long about oddball things, and those are the things that some, you know, I put them on the agenda because if I don't know anything about them and somebody's complaining about them, maybe we as a legislator should have an education based on what it is. So that's kind of what the committee's done in the past for the last 6 years. And obviously, this is a new committee with all brand new members, and we make it what we want it to do.
Thank you very much, Senator Peters. Appreciate it. Are there any minutes from the last meeting that we need to approve?
No.
Nope. Okay. Then, is there anything else, anybody else that would like to speak before the committee today about any situation? Yes, Senator Peters.
Thank you. I was just walking up the stairs today and got contacted by an individual that would like us to have a meeting before we leave, or a meeting within the next couple of weeks after, once the governor presents his budget. There's a group of four or five, maybe six youth providers in the state that want to talk to us about, not the appropriation side, they just want to talk to us about the changes in the youth provider facilities that are going on in the state of South Dakota. With Springfield closing, and there's a few other things, and they just want to kind of go through what these providers do. They're juvenile corrections facilities, and they're going through a lot of changes right now, and they just want to come in and give us a quick overview on who these facilities are, what they're doing, and what the changes are, and the potential impact. We're going to see some major changes, I think, in a couple weeks.
Representative.
Could I ask a question of Senator Peter?
Yes, yes.
Can as this committee, because that's kind of one of our assignments, is overview, could you feel comfortable versing the committee of the particulars behind the closure of Springfield? Would you feel comfortable with that, Senator Peter, or the chairman?
At this time, we don't know a lot of the details. That's what they're going to present to us. And we have Ms. Miller here. She can give us more background on this.
Chairman Carson, members of the committee, I'm Diana Miller, and I'm registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Youth Care Providers and for Youth Services Incorporated, which is the corporation that manages at the Springfield Residential Treatment Facility. I'm Diana Miller, and I'm registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Youth Care Providers and for Youth Services International, which is the corporation that manages or managed the Springfield Residential Treatment Center and also Chamberlain Academy. So there are two that they manage. That's one of the reasons we'd like to come before you to talk about and explain some of the changes that we are undergoing in that whole field. Also, we've collected some data that I think would be interesting to this committee, since we accept Medicaid young people, and we get DOC, Department of Corrections, and we get other students that are at our facilities. I think you'd be interested to know some are for-profit, some are not-for-profit, some are residential treatment care facilities, some are psychiatric. There's a variety of service providers. And rather than take up the time, because there is no specific bill, we will also be presenting before the Appropriations Committee, I'm sure at some point when they do the Department of Social Services budget, because that's a major portion of that budget. However, there are some other pieces of data to the puzzle I think the committee would be interested in knowing. And we are willing to bring in the Executive Director of the South Dakota Youth Care Providers, which is Betty Oldenkamp, president of their board, and we're probably going to bring five or six other people in from across the state, because they vary, and we have facilities in a number of communities, some of which members of this committee have visited and toured. Some of them are in your particular legislative districts, but we thought someday after session, and we wouldn't take long, I mean, it's up to the chair of this committee how long you wish to give us, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, whatever. We will be brief. We will not duplicate material. We'll have a number of handouts for you that you can take. We'd certainly invite anyone else in the bodies to attend if they wish to, because it's all informational purposes. It is not designed to be talking about budget, which we will do, obviously, throughout the session before the Appropriations Committee. We're dealing with more of how kids get assigned, what things we're dealing with there, the level of care, residential versus non-residential, that type of thing. And we thought it would be beneficial, particularly with the number of new legislators in both bodies, to hear about some of these providers. A lot of people, when they hear Medicaid, think of only nursing homes, and that's not the case. And I think some people need to have that background information to make the best decisions for the young people in the state. And so we would just like to do that, but we'd like to wait until after Governor Dugard's address next week, and then we'd be willing to open any time that Chairman Carson may want us to be here. We certainly could do that. I just need like 24 hours to notify the people to drive out here. If this weather continues, I may need 48. I don't know. But that would be the only thing. We can have them out here within a pretty quick period of time.
Representative Dennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Miller, maybe it's premature, but with the closure of Springfield Academy, is that a concern for some of the other facilities across the state at this time to take care of the youth that are involved? I mean, maybe the question is premature. Maybe a later date.
Yeah.
You can't expound on that,
please. Chairman Carson, Representative Dennett, it's a little premature right now. Obviously, there are numbers where the young people that were placed at the Springfield Residential Treatment Center have to be placed somewhere else since they're closing. And I know they're in the process of doing that because certain kids are put there by the Department of Corrections, and they will have to be placed in other facilities, and we're in the process of the youth supervisors looking for places for those. There are some other kids that are placed by DSS that have to be looked for. Sky Ranch is also, we don't have many students from South Dakota at Sky Ranch, but they're mostly out-of-state kids, but the fact of the matter is those kids will have to be placed elsewhere if we shut down the facility. But I think it's premature. I think at that point when we will have someone here from Youth Services International that to deal with all of the issues around the closure of the Springfield facility, because there are a variety of reasons. It's never good to hear about the closure of some place, obviously, but, you know, reality right now and a fact of life. And when you don't have numbers down there, you cannot justify a facility, particularly that type of facility that is very intensive, and they're dealing with a high level of troubled youth down there. So that's difficult in the state. But we will have the answers, and certainly I have requested that the Youth Services International have someone here to answer the questions for the legislature.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Miller while she's here? Go ahead, Senator Teeterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, my question is, would there be value in also scheduling this with the Appropriations Committee at the same time so that you're not having to repeat it? I mean, you could work with Chairman Wink and, open it up for both committees to look at it rather than just one and then repeat.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman Carson, in answer to that, that would be advantageous so we don't have to bring people up twice. However, a lot of that when we appear before the appropriations will be monetary issues and budget issues. This will be, there will be a mixture, probably more so, of information that's just about numbers, power treating, security issues, that type of thing for the GOAC committee. But it would certainly be helpful if we could coordinate so that they don't have to make two trips.
Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, and I agree with Senator Tiedemann in at least one light. I think what we might want to do we'll have to check. I mean, you're obviously in a position that you can talk to Senator Brown, but maybe make them very aware that there's going to be a good informational meeting on that up here. I don't know. Is the same group, Ms. Miller, going to be going, the same group of people, are they going to be going in front of appropriations at some point, or will that not necessarily be the case?
Chairman Carson?
Yes.
In answer to your question, Senator Haverly, not necessarily the same people. I mean, some of them, we're going to allow the opportunity because we're going to bring in people that actually work in the facilities in some cases to talk to you about some of the issues because they can better answer it than the people who are dealing with the money. But there will be some carryover. Myself included, Chairman Ohlenkamp, who chairs the youth care providers, and then certain representatives. I assume appropriation may want to hear from certain specific sites. So whatever, we can work on it. Whatever you people decide is most advantageous, I'll accommodate, just so I have like 24 hours, because I got to bring the people from out-of-state for youth services.
Absolutely. And follow up to that then, Mr. Chair, I might make a recommendation then that you maybe get with Senator Tiedemann and Representative Wink and Senator Brown and try and just coordinate a good time when the Appropriations Committee at least has the good opportunity to come up here and listen to the information. That'll be one less thing, at least from the informational standpoint, that they'll have to deal with during the appropriations process. But I think this is extremely important to do this type of thing because, as we know, the budget is going to continue to stay tight, especially on travel. And while I think it's definitely advantageous for this group to get out and tour these facilities, obviously, even with last year, we didn't get to go out and see what we needed to see. And I think that's going to continue on for at least the near future. Possibly this next whole 2-year session. So I think it's extremely important that we get as much information from these folks instead of having to make pre-travel plans that may not happen. So I would highly recommend that we go ahead and work with the Appropriations Committee and try and get some informational stuff out. Thanks.
Maybe what I'll do is contact the two chairmen and have them earlier in the day at the appropriations and then have them later in the afternoon. We could have this meeting here. We'll try to get a schedule.
Thank you very much, Chairman Carson, members of the committee. I appreciate it very much.
Is there anybody else that needs to come before the committee this afternoon? Anything else that the committee needs to... Go ahead, Senator Peters.
Tim, did you have a list from the previous meeting? I think Senator Hanhoff had a couple of things.
I do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I believe it was December 6, 2010, interim meeting, Senator Hanhoff had a couple items, and I have made contact with all the state agencies on these items, and they'll be prepared whenever the chair decides to have this meeting to come in. But the first was an incident that occurred at the Springfield facility, a private contracted juvenile facility in the state involving a runaway youth. And Senator Hanhoff requested that the Department of Corrections and the Department of Social Services appear before the committee with the results of their investigation of this incident and provide GOAC follow-up information on what happened there and the results of their review. Another thing was with respect to that Senator Hanhoff asked for more information on the bidding process at higher education with respect to contracts. And I've talked to higher ed, and it sounds like the state engineer will also come in and talk to you about that area. Then Representative Peters at the time, Senator Peters, now asked about large repair and maintenance projects and how those fit into the budget. And in her mind, there was no limits on the repair maintenance projects that were coming in front of the appropriators, and she would like some additional information on how that works. And I've contacted the Bureau of Administration, and they're prepared to come in and talk some more about that. And then lastly, Representative Dennert had some questions for the Department of Transportation, and Secretary Bergquist is prepared to come in and talk about that. And I think, Senator Peters, you also had some issues on how projects are picked and how, why, and when, and he's going to be prepared to talk about that.
Thank you. Senator Peters, that answer your question? Senator Hanhoff? So what we probably need to do is be looking at the calendar to look at how we're going to schedule the next meeting. We're probably be looking at a meeting within 10 to 12 days after the governor's new budget is released. I guess I can keep you work with Tim and keep you appraised of how that goes. That's with you, Senator. They released that. All right. Go ahead.
I want to backtrack back on some of the operations, and I think it's always helpful, especially for me who doesn't have a very long memory anymore. With the process, how do the members get an agenda item outside of the meeting. I mean, if Tim, if you can maybe go through that, and then also, if I'm, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I couldn't get on the internet, but the blue book is always available at the LRC website. Is that not correct? I mean, and I think, if I remember back, any kind of paperwork that GOAC deals with is usually found at that same location as the blue book on the LRC website. You have to dig around a little bit. You might, if you know it by heart, I don't, but you might want to just cover that real briefly.
I'll address your second point first, but usually as soon as the chair in our office works with the chair in establishing the agenda and kind of allocating a certain amount of time for each agenda item based upon what the chair thinks. And then right away, I contact the state agencies or boards or commissions that are involved to see if, one, they can appear, if it'll work into their schedule. And once we get it figured out, then the agenda, the chair essentially approves the agenda, then that's sent up to LRC. It's posted out on our LRC website. And then after usually there's documents, supporting documents, reports involved with that agenda. And then as they come in, we will make them PDF files and send it up to LRC, and they are attached to the agenda also. 2 years ago, the committee decided to go entirely paperless. So any documentation that's provided to the committee, we try, unless it's proprietary or confidential, we post it out there. And it's available on your laptops, and you just click right on it. It's below each agenda item. So,
Mr. Chair,
go ahead.
Just a follow-up to that. So let me drill down a little bit deeper. If Joe's, or let's call it, because there might be a Joe's paint shop, let's call it Frankie's paint shop, who has a contract with the state, contacts one of the members, what's the procedure for the member to get an agenda item put on?
I wouldn't call me.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Usually it's any member certainly in the past has wanted something on the agenda, and sometimes that member of the committee has already talked to the chair and or the vice chair, or they've called me, and then I quickly call the chair and talk about that issue, and then always the chair has decided to put it on the agenda. You know, so.
Okay. Very good. That answers your question. Anything else that we need to discuss today? Well, I'm sorry.
A motion?
A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion by Senator Haverly and second by Peters to adjourn. And we will get back together after the budget. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.